Welcome to the Morning Masters Call, all each and every one of you who's on the line this morning. We want you to know that we understand the crisis this winter, severe winter storm that has hit so many states. And I'm kind of happy about being able to stay in and be on the phone and be on the computer today working our business as we begin our first day of February with our Artist International's business. So it's perfectly okay. So let us all, and it's a good time for us to really be here praying as well. As we begin the call, for those of you who really pray for the needs of those who give their prayer requests, let me give you the three that we got this morning. Shantessa, who is a 21-year-old daughter of a concerned mother. We want to put her on the prayer list. We know how young people are, so we're going to ask God to help her understand her purpose and plan in life. We want to pray for Barbara Smith, who has a reoccurring infection in her total body, which is really making her sick, and she just can't seem to kick it. And we are praying for an overhaul, not only in her body, but in her life at this point, because reoccurring sickness can make you just very, very depressed. And number three, we want to pray for Danielle, a niece who needs a house of her own. So let us pray that God will open up a door for her. We know that he can do anything but fail. We also want to say to all of you who work so diligently in closing out the business, closing out your business last night, congratulations for those who really went on and made your goals, and know that it's okay, because we start over anew and afresh today. If you didn't make it, it's okay. If you did make it, you're still okay, because we still all have a start over today. For the those who missed the message yesterday with Pastor Henderson and missed the message on Monday with Dr. Vanessa, I will encourage each and every one of you to get those calls, because they were absolutely off the chain. So go to the Masters Morning Call .wordpress.com and get those messages. They were both absolutely great. I also want to thank each of you for praying for my daughter. I am now a new Gigi. Miss Jaylani Latrice Welch has made her grand entrance into this world. She was 5 pounds, 3 ounces. She and Devola, my daughter, are both doing great. They were supposed to be dismissed from the hospital today. I called that doctor and said, keep them in. It's too cold. We can't come to get them. And so just keep them in until tomorrow. It's supposed to warm up a few degrees. I don't know if she's going to do it or not, but they it was worth the ask. At this time, we are ready to have our opening prayer, and we're going to ask Dr. J to come and give us our opening prayer this morning. Dr. Henderson, your husband preached so yesterday until I know you're still on cloud 59, and so come and open us up in prayer, and then we're going right into our speaker, okay?
Good morning. Can you hear me, Dr. PK?
I can hear you loud and clear, and I am surprised I can with all that snow up there.
Father, we just bless you, and we give you the absolute praise this morning. What an honor and a privilege it is that we can come into your throne room and know that we can find help and grace in a time of need. And, Father, we come. We come knowing with thanksgiving, first of all, in our hearts. We come. We're grateful for a brand new day. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. And, God, because you've made this day, we just thank you this day that we will be glad and we will rejoice in it. We rejoice because we know that there is nothing too difficult for you. We rejoice because we know that you are on our side. We rejoice because you are our shield and our buckler. Hallelujah. And, Father, we glory in what you have already done for us. We glory in what we expect you to do for us. And we come this day with our neck stretched, with an outstretched arm, and our minds and our situations looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because of the joy that was set before you, you endured every situation. And because of that, We come knowing that that mind is also in us that was in Christ Jesus. We're able to endure. We're able to endure the weather. We're able to endure any situation that you will allow to be measured by your hand to us. Thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are God that have everything in your hand that we need. And so we come asking you to even now to look upon these different prayer requests that have come in this morning. We know that you are a God that has a surplus of prosperity today. Your word says it in Deuteronomy 28, verse 11. So we thank you this day that we've entered into a surplus of prosperity. That is not only financially, but that's also spiritually. Not only spiritually, but materially. And I thank you this day, Lord God, that every need of every person that's on this call is met completely in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that you go before us as Jehovah Rapha. You are not the God that is one that we are coming for begging for healing, but God, we stand in the gap for those that need healing in their physical bodies. We speak to them right now the word of Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth us. You are not a God that cannot heal. You are the God that is able to heal to the very utmost. So I thank you for healing virtue going through bodies today. I thank you for healing virtue going through minds today, through pocketbooks, through financial situations, and also through relationships. And we bless you today, Lord God, that you are our God. We vow to you that you are our God. And because you are our God, we even declare that we're your people. And because of that, you're able to give us what it is that we stand in need of. So we thank you today for this day. And we thank you that, Father, that your word today will come forth under the unction of the Holy Ghost to destroy every yoke of bondage. I decree and declare this morning that the airways are clear now, that the word of God has liberality to even now to be spoken on this call. And every man, every woman that would hear your word today, because of your word and the anointing of God that's on your word, it will even now set the captive free. Thank you for free captives today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you even now that you would even now give us an opportunity to be in a business such as this business of Artists International. I lift up the owners, the Diaz de Leon family. I pray for strength for them. I even now speak a word that they will mount up with wings as an eagle and that they would run and not get weary. I command even now some Aarons and some Hurs to rise up this morning, that they would pray and intercede for this man and woman of God. I thank you even now, Lord God, that you would even now cause us to be intercessors, to stand in the gap, that, Father, that we would make up the difference with them. I bless them this morning. I give you great praise for every person that's on this call today. I say even, God, strengthen us, encourage us, motivate us in the right way today that we might run and not get weary. I bless you and I give you praise. I bless you for the host of this call, and I pray for their strength today in Jesus' name. So we say now, get yourself glory, honor, and praise out of everything that your ears will hear even now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Back to you, Dr. PK. God bless you today.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Psalms 88 says, but to you I have cried out, O Lord. And in the morning my prayer comes before you. And we thank you, Dr. J, for doing just that, praying so that the airways are clear so that we can hear from the Lord. At this time, Dr. Vanessa, is our speaker on the line?
Yes, he is.
At this time, we're going to bring a person who calls me mom, a person whom God has called into my life, into our lives here in the Artists International business. We are so thankful to have this morning on the line all the way from Louisiana, my son, and I love you, son. I thank God for you. So come and bring us the word, Pastor Chuck Brown. Come and
speak
to our hearts.
Thank you. I love you too, sweetheart. Amen. I can tell my little sis congratulations on the baby.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Dr. Vanessa, who serves as a spiritual mentor to me. I bless the Lord for you. I tell you, I just connected with these two ladies. They're wonderful women of God, and I'm so grateful that God has placed them in my life and in my life. And I know that God divinely connects all of us. Just across this country with the Hindus, there's so many people. I won't start calling names, but God has connected us, and I appreciate him for the connection. Thank you, Dr. J, for the prayer that has set the tone for what the Lord is going to minister to us on this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to minister from verses 33 and verse 40. Reading out of the New Living Translation this morning, it may read a little different from the King James Version, but it's still the Word of God. Verse 33 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people." And verse 40, it says, "But be sure that everything is done properly and in order." And we know that in the King James Version it says, "Let everything, all things be done decently and in order." In my ministry, God has given me as a theme for 2011 to searching for truth in a real world, searching for truth in the real world. And we understand that the Word of God, through the Word of God, that truth sets us free, as Jesus said in John 8 and 32. What God wants is that we stop living the lies that the enemy brings to us through the facts of life and live a life of freedom through accepting his truth. A simple definition that God gave me for truth is how God feels about everything. I love that definition, how God feels about everything, because it excludes everyone else's opinion. So how you feel concerning my life really doesn't matter. How my family feels about various circumstances in my life doesn't truly matter. How the devil feels about the problems he's brought my way doesn't ultimately concern me. All that matters to me is what God has to say about my life. So what God has to say about me is truth for me. How God feels about my future matters more than how you feel about my past. How God feels about my healing matters more than how you feel about my sickness. How God feels about my breakthrough matters more than how you feel about my issues. Listen, I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your point of view because you have the right to feel how you want. I appreciate your opinion, but when it comes to my life, I don't need an opinion. I don't need a point of view. I don't need a perspective. I just want to know what's the truth. How does God feel about it? Moses, what are we going to do? The Egyptians are coming behind us. We can't sidestep them because of the mountains on both sides, and we have the Red Sea in front of us. We're going to die. Moses told them, "I hear you. I hear you talking about going back to Egypt. I hear you relaying the facts about where you are. I hear you giving up just because it's a little rough out here. But let me hear what God has to say about this here." And God tells them to go forward, and their enemies drown because of the truth. How God felt about their predicament. And in that spirit of truth, I want to pick up on something that many of our other speakers have been hitting on. Pastor Vanessa, as a prophetess, has been talking about order. Bishop Walter Henderson has been talking about order. And I want to just kind of reiterate some things that they've shared, because I take notes when I'm on this call and I'm hearing these various speakers. I take notes. I apply it to my life, and many times I preach those words because they are truth, and they are what the body of Christ needs to hear. So this morning I want to talk the truth about order, because before you can actually get your life and live life at the next level, you have to make sure that you have order in your life. So again, some of what you're going to hear is reiteration of what you've heard from Dr. Vanessa and from Dr. Henderson, as well as Dr. PK and others. Order is the accurate arrangement of things in your life. It's the accurate arrangement of things in your life. God never orchestrates confusion. Let me share that again. He never orchestrates confusion. The King James Version of 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 says that God is not the author of confusion. He is not a God of disorder. Everything flows the way he wants it to flow. It doesn't do anything that is not in the ordained arrangement that God set for it. He is an orchestrator. He is a master composer, arranging every voice to be on the pitch that it needs to be, the tempo beating the way it should, the melody flowing just right, not clashing with the chords, but accentuating them. So let's look at God's handiwork, his masterpiece. If you notice in Genesis chapter 1, it begins in chaos. Everything is out of order. It's just a black void until God begins to set everything in the accurate arrangement he meant for it to function. So he says, let there be light. Light comes, but catch this, God brings order to the light. He separates the light to the degree that it's not always light, but there will be day and night. And so that's when time begins. The order is 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. There is an order to what God does. God then brings order to the waters. He puts space between the water of the earth and the waters of the heaven and calls that space the sky. He calls forth land to divide the water, vegetation to arise, trees to sprout. He places within the vegetation and trees seeds so that their existence could be perpetual. Then he creates the seasons and the moons and the stars and suns. All of them had a particular function. The sun ruled the day and the moon ruled the night. Order, order, order. There isn't any confusion as to what entity dominates what time because there is order. Notice God didn't create the fish first and then the sea. Created the seas and the oceans and then commanded them to be filled with fish, the sky to be filled with birds, and the lands to be filled with animals. Can you see how God perpetuates order? Can you visualize how everything flows the way it's intended to flow to the extent that if we start seeing the sun rule the night, we can declare something is out of order. When we're walking in the divine order of God, we should be able to ascertain when things in our lives are out of order. So let me give you several principles about order and that will be finished on this morning. Verse 33, God is not the author of confusion. So number one, if your life is not in order, you will never have peace. If your life is not in order, you will never, and I say that boldly, you will never have peace. God does not orchestrate confusion. That's the devil's job. But understand this, saints of God, wherever disorder is revealed in your life, chaos and confusion will follow. There is no peace where there is no order. That's why I stress in my church, Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center, that we are a ministry of kingdom excellence. That's part of our what we confess at every service, kingdom excellence. We give God first-class service in our ministry and in our everyday lives because we want order in every aspect of our worship experience. And any member of our church, of our ministry, can tell when there's disorder in the house because they can just look at the expression on my face. The sound has to be in order because squealing distracts worship. The music has to be in order. The greeters and the ushers and the deacons and ministers and the children, everything has to be in order. The one thing I will never allow the enemy to do is gain a foothold in my midst. Now, the truth is the enemy has come in and written disorder in our society. I call him the best-selling author of confusion. Yes, he's the best-selling author of confusion. Look around. Our problems stem from the fact that there is no order in the world. Dad's not around, which creates disorder for the kids. Mom's not a mother. She's too busy trying to be friends with a four-year-old child, which creates disorder because that child never fully respects, honors, or fears her the way he should, or in authority for that matter. Husbands and wives, extracurricular activities bring disorder into the house because now we're headed for divorce court. Or if not divorced, then the disorder creates bitterness, unforgiveness, and constant pain. What happens in the midst of all these aspects of life that are in disorder and disarray? It takes us and keeps us from having a life of peace. Order has to be understood in every area of our lives. Listen, people, I know you're praying for finances and prosperity, but where there is no financial order, debt rules. I know you're praying that you feel good in your body, but where there is no physical order, sickness and disease rules. So keep going to McDonald's and Burger King 12 o'clock at night. You will never have the physical the peace that comes from physical order. Where there is no mental order, suicidal tendencies and other personality disorders rule. Where there is no emotional order, discouragement rules. The peace that God promises to give us that will surpass all understanding never comes to us wherever there is disorder. Number two that I want to share with you, pain is the proof of disorder. Pain is the proof of disorder. When a body part is out of order, there is pain. I heard Mike Murdoch say something similar to that. Whenever you twist an ankle, the indicator that something is wrong is pain. Anyone who has been experiencing pain in your life needs to understand the truth about order, because wherever there is pain, something is out of order. What we have to now do is, now that we know the truth about order, is ask God to reveal those areas of our lives that are not in order so that we can get rid of the pain. Now, I'm not saying that the pain immediately goes away, but once you know what's wrong, you can begin the process of getting it right. The sprained or twisted ankle has to go through a recovery process once the doctor recognizes the problem. But every day you get closer and closer and closer to being healed. I'm not one of those guys who sell a fake hype gospel. I want you to know that once you feel the pain that comes from something being out of order and begin taking steps toward order, is going to take some time to get rid of the pain. Your marriage may take some time to heal. The friendship will take some time to be mended. It's not over. It's just going to take some time. And in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, I won't read those verses, but you need to understand, Jesus in that verse gives us the example of the vine and the gardener. He says Jesus is the vine and God is the gardener. The process is simple. He looks at us, the branches, and if he sees that something is out of order, he prunes it. Thank you, Dr. Henderson. The vine that is out of order must be pruned, not as punishment, but as a means to get back to where it must be. That changed my life. It is painful, but when God wants change to come into our lives and we refuse to accept his order, the pruning process takes place. To prune means to remove, to trim, to snip, or to cut back. Sometimes I've found that God will prune with friendships that promote disorder in our lives. Sometimes God will prune relationships that keep us out of order. Sometimes God will even prune places of employment because we're out of order, we're out of place. God will even prune goals because they're not in alignment with what he has for you. Let me give you number three. Order requires reorientation. Order requires reorientation. I encourage y'all to just go back to these calls that have been going on since the beginning of the year, and you're going to hear these same words. Order requires reorientation. Psalms 37:23, it states that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. In this verse, the word order takes on a different meaning. Order here means a sequential number of deliberate and progressive instructions. God directs the steps and orders the moves we should make. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's calculating and thoughtful of where you should be, what you should be doing, and how you should be doing it. God doesn't make mistakes. If you hear God speaking to you saying, do this, then do it, even though you don't understand it. He's a God. He's God, and he really doesn't have to explain himself to you. He's God, and he knows which way your life should go. He's God, and he knows where you're supposed to be in the season you're in. While he's ordering your steps, be sure to follow his orders. Part of the journey that you will experience while following God's orders is going to new levels, places you've never seen before, mountains you've never climbed before, levels you've never experienced before, doors you've never been through before. Here's a key truth about order. You have to readjust yourself at every new level. Whew. That blessed me when I heard that. You have to readjust yourself at every new level. Reorient yourself. Well, I remember hearing Pastor Vanessa and Dr. Henderson say, whenever you go into a new place in the natural, like a new home or a new, a hotel room, you don't just start walking. You orient yourself to the new place. Order requires reorientation. Trust me, people of God, being the lender is different from being the borrower. If you've been the borrower all your life, you have to reorient yourself to being the lender. Yeah, being the head is different. Being the tail, rather, is different from being the head. Being beneath is different from being above. God wants you to reorient yourself so that you don't mess up at this new place that you've never been before. Now, what the devil wants you to believe is that this is a period of disorientation, but that's not it at all. All of the knowledge and experience that I had at the last level must now be empty to make room for the next level, and that requires faith. God, I'm trusting you to show me how I should behave. I'm trusting you to show me how to conduct myself. I'm trusting you to show me what my priorities must be at this stage of life, because your priorities have to shift from level to level. Lastly, I want to leave you with this point. Any movement towards order creates true pleasure. Any movement towards order creates true pleasure. In Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 and 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Here it is. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 and 33 is a scripture we are all familiar with. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, remember, we're talking about the truth. We're talking the truth about order. What sets you free? The truth. So the enemy will do everything in his power to keep you from being free. Therefore, he does not want you to hear or accept the truth. One way the devil distorts the truth about order is, get this, he defines what pleasure is, and he defines what pain is for us. Basically, he twists what should be pleasurable to us and turns that into pain. These two scriptures outline how our lives should be generally ordered. Put God first and then your pursuits. Now, when it comes to the kingdom of God or doing the right thing, sometimes the enemy defines that or makes it painful for us. So it's painful for some people to come to church faithfully, but pleasurable to go to the club regularly. It's painful to fast weekly, but pleasurable to pig out daily. It's painful to get things in order, but pleasurable to not bother our way of doing things, getting out of our comfort zone. Do not allow the enemy to define pleasure for you. The psalmist says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Make him your pleasure, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't listen to the enemy that tells you to pursue pleasure, pleasure that is defined by him, because that will keep you from experiencing the pleasurable peace that comes from a life in order with God. You have to make God your pleasure. You need to make tithing your pleasure. You need to make sowing into the kingdom and into others your pleasure. You need to make forgiving people your pleasure. Don't let it become painful to have to apologize because you've done something wrong to someone or offended them. Or even if they offended you, make it your pleasure to forgive them and let it go and move forward. Make it your pleasure to live right. Make it your pleasure to live a life that's holy and righteous before the Lord. Make it your pleasure and watch what God will do in your life. You will see order come when you make it your pleasure. Wives, make it your pleasure to be the wife that God called you to be. Husbands, make it your pleasure to be the husband that God has called you to be. Children, all of us are someone's child. Make it your pleasure to honor your father and your mother. Listen, when you get pleasure right and you define pleasure the way it's supposed to be defined and you reorient things and you take stuff that was once pleasurable and then you move it over there to pain, then watch how God moves in your life because you've moved from disorder to order. Let all things be done decently and in order. All things, all things, all things. Ask the Lord this day, February 2nd, if there's any part of my life that is out of order, Lord, I want to get it right this day. Shine your light down from heaven and open up my heart. Show me what's out of order. I don't want pain anymore, God. I want pleasure, and I want the type of pleasure that comes from pleasing you. Hallelujah. I pray that this word in some way, some shape, some form or fashion has touched you, has inspired you, has motivated you to move in order. This woman of God spoke prophetically. I'm turning this call over, but this woman spoke prophetically and said 2011 is the year of order. Man, look, the reason why that pricked my spirit, because I knew there were some things that I had to get in order in my life. And I'm seeing the results of great things that have happened immediately just from moving from chaos and confusion to order. Let all things be done decently and in order. God bless you, Dr. PK. The call is yours, Mom. We bless you.
Good God, good God, good God. God, I thank you, and we give you the glory this morning for Pastor Chuck and this word on order. Thank you, God. This is so awesome, so awesome, so awesome, son. This is a super fantastic message, and I agree 100%. Lord, have mercy between you and Dr. Henderson and Dr. Vanessa. You all going to have us working almost around the clock to get chaos out of our lives and to put this thing in order. Come on, Sister Amber, close us out in prayer. I'm telling you, oh, good Lord, I am clapping and running and shouting the old in my spirit. Sister Amber.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we got a minute. So, God, we just thank you God, my God, my belly is burning. Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing the Rhema word all this week, and we're looking for the rest of the week that you're downloading us, Father God, according to your word. And God, we will align ourselves up with you with order. We bind a spirit of confusion. We come against every psychic and Jezebelic prayer against us. And God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for downloading us, Father God, what you have from your Rhema word. God, we will align ourselves up, Father God, with order in the name of Jesus, because you're not the author of confusion, but you are a God of order. So we pray right now, Father God, for the 21-year-old young lady, and God, we speak salvation upon her, God. Let perfect laborers come across her pathway in the name of Jesus. We arrest her for Jesus and every other young person in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for Barbara Smith right now. We come against that reoccurring affection. We curse it at the very root. We say and command her body to line up with healing right now in the name of Jesus. By the stripes and the blood of Jesus, she is healed. And we come against any spirit of depression in Jesus' name. We curse it at the very root. God, we pray for Danielle, the niece, Father God, that's looking for housing. Supply all her needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Open up a door, Father God, for a divine connection for housing in Jesus' name. We thank you for Pastor PK, brand new baby daughter. And God, we thank you for her daughter. And God, we thank you for the blood covering upon them. In Jesus' name, God, we pray for each and every one, Father God, in this winter storm or whatever. We know that the elements have to do what they have to do, but we even speak a shifting in the elements. Creation is groaning for the sons of God to arise. So, God, we thank you. God, pour back into the men and women of God, Father God, all that they've poured out of the virtue. Let your anointing power, Father God, be so prevalent in their lives as never before. God, I come against a spirit of sabotage against, Father God, artists in the name of Jesus. I pray for the Diaz de Leon family with the spirit of integrity and excellence in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you. We thank you for your blood covering. We thank you for the angels, protecting, warfare, and guardian angels ascending and descending according to your word, bringing forth manifestation for every prayer request that has been spoken unto your kingdom. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we come against every backlash and retaliation. We let the enemy know that no weapon, it may form, but it cannot and shall not prosper. God, we thank you for this day, for your glory and your glory only. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Back to you, Pastor PK.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And dear God, we also thank you for the Barclay family, Bobby and Larissa. And we pray, God, for them this morning, a special healing in his mind, in his body, and for Stormy and the family as they are traveling to Miami. We ask, God, that you move in this family and that your perfect plan and your perfect purpose be fulfilled in Jesus' name. We come against the enemy now who comes to just throw us into a state of chaos. But we speak order in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And thank you, General Amber. And forgive me for not giving you that last prayer request. You all, as we close this day, saying thank you for each and every one of you who have had a voice on this call today. And we thank God for my co-host who has been really holding down the fort as I've gone through some serious challenges. But I thank God that he knows who we need to help walk us through the valley. We thank God for Pastor Vanessa. So at this time, we are closing this call saying, go out, have a suit. No, stay in, stay warm, eat your soup, get on the computers, call, and get your business going for February. And we are going to see you in extravaganza in the next 5 days. Looking forward to seeing your face. God bless you. Bye-bye.